Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Yes. We're on like 53.
Oh my gosh. I am so high right now. I mean, on the scale of numbers.
Oh, yeah.
On 10.
You can't
53.
Go higher than 10.
Yeah, I mean, I'm on 10 right now.
It's a good
I am
song.
On 10, Kendrick. I am.
Hey, it's. So, hi, Suitcases. Welcome to a bonus episode of Second Shot Podcast.
That
I almost forgot what
that
we were
was
called.
A good movie. James Corden was great as Peter Rabbit.
Don't get me started on Peter Rabbit.
So good.
He was great. Domhnall Gleeson fighting a rabbit.
That was amazing.
Are you kidding me? I just want to watch 10 hours of that.
The CGI was great.
Of course. Are you kidding me? I think Weta did it.
I saw that earlier today, and I saw it before I saw Black Panther. I saw the whitest movie possible right now, and then I saw the blackest movie possible.
That is true. I think Peter Rabbit is probably the whitest movie you can see right now. I was singing Billy Joel at work today, so I think that's the whitest thing I could do.
Yeah, I mean, and you are really white, so, I mean.
It's true. I was putting a lot of mayonnaise on sandwiches, too, so.
You're about a Martin Freeman. Like, you're in with the black crowd.
I'm an honorary. I'm not even an honorary.
You're
I'm
Everett
just.
Ross.
I'm okay with. They're okay with me.
You're Everett Ross.
They're okay with me. Yeah. Just like. It's like I'm an honorary gay man in my gay friends group. Like, I'm like, everyone's like, God, I normally hate straight men, but George, you're okay. Like, that's all I can ask for.
And then they put your dick in their mouth.
Well, they're lesbians, but I mean.
I shouldn't have went there.
Unbelievable.
That was awful.
Did you just assume they're gayness? Hi, welcome to a bonus episode of Second Shot Podcast.
That's a little sample of the real show.
That's exactly.
If you want a real episode, we're not going to give that away for the whole entire bonus episode. Come on.
Yeah, we don't. Why buy the horse when you can get the cow for free? Wait, is that the? That's not it.
It's why buy the cow when you can get the slave for free.
That's it. I knew it.
Yeah.
Why buy the rhino when you can get armored plating for free?
That was fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah. We'll get into that. That was like, that bordered on like being like, it could be really goofy and could cover reason it just worked. And I was just like, oh yeah, no, this I'm totally in on this. Like I know they set up a rhino before, like for like 3 seconds.
Yeah, like that's the only reason that they didn't have him.
You know what they say about a rhino in the first act?
What do they say about a rhino?
They'll show up in armored plating at the end of the movie.
Oh, shit. Yeah, that's right. How could I forget that? But no.
What's your name?
Oh, yeah. We didn't introduce ourselves.
I said my name, I think.
Oh,
I'm George Dunn.
I'm Devin Newsom.
Hi.
I need no introduction.
It's very true.
Nobody else sounds as weird.
No, you're right.
Thanks.
This is going to be our bonus episode of us just talking about Black Panther. I saw it last night. Devin, you just got back from seeing it.
Yes.
So we'll try and go spoiler-free as much as possible before we just dive into it. At least 5 minutes or so.
Yeah.
But let's just get, like, general thoughts out of the way. What's your immediate thought as someone who just saw it?
Just coming out of the theater, I am superbly impressed.
Mm-hmm.
That was an amazing movie. It met all of my expectations. It was able to the hardest part of the movie for me was getting used to the idea of Wakanda being a real thing, because they very much mix it into the real world to make it be like you can imagine this happening kind of.
Especially since the Marvel movies, well, the Marvel universe is so it uses real cities. It's not like the DC universe where it's like, you know, Metropolis
exactly,
and Gotham.
Yeah,
like you have New York City and you have San Francisco and
yeah.
You know.
So in that aspect, it was it was hard to get used to that at first, but once you got used to it, it's so fantastical. Like, I mean, it's fantastical from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
They throw the weirdness at you right away. Like, you're like, okay, this is going to be like, shit, there's like African spies showing up with glowing lips and
yeah. Oh, the glowing lip thing. I mean, like,
this is the key to get into Wakanda.
Pretty much. I mean, like, I think the thing I didn't even realize until you just like kind of mentioned how weird and things they set up. They kind of just gloss over the fact that an astral plane exists. Well, I mean, I guess they kind of did that with Doctor Strange.
Yeah,
but
and
like that, it's not just a. Not just magic. Like, I guess, yeah, magic is existing, but it's like they're broadening the magic of the world.
Yeah.
But also, like, it's almost like if Doctor Strange and Iron Man were, like, one person.
In a way, not
character-wise, because T'Challa is definitely not, like, Tony Stark at all.
No.
But I mean, like, the worlds, if those two worlds collided, I think that's a good middle ground.
It definitely is that movie. It had a little bit of... the Thor movies in there as well. It was like watching Black Game of Thrones meshed with like Batman.
Oh, there's so many different genres they mix into this movie.
It's amazing.
I was actually thinking about this today, like when I've been able to stew on it for like a day, but this movie, just the way it looks is incredible. It's so beautiful.
Yeah.
But this is what Kenneth Branagh was trying to do with the first Thor.
Yeah.
Exactly. Like, I mean, there are shots that are, like, exactly what Kenneth Branagh just did a very boring version of.
Oh, yeah, like when the showed spinning, Asgard.
Yeah, like the spinning shot of the throne when Killmonger...
You know
what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I know the shot, yeah.
Because that's almost like the first shot of Asgard... in the first Thor movie where it's like upside down and then everything flips around and
yeah,
it tries to be more fantastical like that and try to be, it works. This movie works on like pretty much every level.
It did what it set out to do. Yeah. Absolutely.
I don't think there was any really big holy shit moments other than maybe like, you know, a shot or two or just like, oh, that was really cool. But no, like revolutionary, like, oh shit. Like I didn't see that coming, but this was not a movie that needed that. It was just a fun.
Yeah. Awesome
movie.
Yeah. It's especially if you haven't seen, like obviously you wish that, maybe the Infinity War trailer hadn't come out yet to not,
did your screening have an Infinity War trailer in front of it?
I got there during a different trailer. Okay.
They didn't have any Infinity War trailer for it.
Okay.
They had Ant-Man and the Wasp. They had Venom.
Okay, I didn't see Venom.
Venom trailer sucks. It's garbage.
It's a teaser.
Show Venom. Tease Venom. They don't even have like him in a suit. It's garbage.
You see the symbiote.
You see a blob of black goo that bubbles. It's fucking dumb. But get ready for a new Ghost Rider. That's what I'm saying right now. What's the other one? Oh, Deadpool 2. Deadpool 2 trailer, which is very funny.
Yeah, it's a good trailer.
But it was very weird that those were the trailers, but no Infinity War.
Yeah.
I
guess they didn't want to jam it down our throats. It's
coming soon. We know. If you're here for Black Panther, you probably know what's coming.
And, I mean, they stayed true to that all the way to the end credits. Like, I don't know if we want to spoil that yet. But
no, we'll get into spoilers with that. But, I mean, it's really... There's really not much to spoil in this movie. I mean, like, story-wise, but, like, in terms of, like, big, overarching, like, universe stuff...
Yeah, like, it's like, you know what's going to happen. Good guy, bad guy. Good guy wins in the end.
Generally, yeah. I mean, there's a lot more nuance in this than I thought there would be. Especially with Killmonger.
Oh, yeah.
I really appreciated what they did with Killmonger. And Michael B. Jordan is very good in this role.
Big time.
Him
and Coogler got to stick together.
Oh yeah, I mean, I still haven't seen Fruitvale Station yet, but that scene in Creed at the end. Have you seen Creed?
I have not yet.
Oh dude, you gotta like. He
I feel so bad saying that.
He brings a level of social awareness to a Rocky movie. Like it's like that's hard to do, but like there's a moment in at the end fight where he's just getting his ass kicked, you know, and it's like the first Rocky movie, you know, he's just getting beat down. And Rocky says, like, you go throw the towel, it's fine. He's like, no, I got to do it. I got to prove myself. You know, I got to prove it. He's like, prove what? What are you going to prove? He's like, that I'm not a mistake. And it's like, oh, it's like fucking destroys me.
Man.
It's the best.
He's incredible. You know, like, to me, when he first sprang on the scene, I was like, okay, he's got some potential. And he really has, like, in his career, like, matched all of those expectations. Like,
yeah. I mean, he was really good as Johnny Storm.
Oh, yeah.
Fantastic Four,
yeah.
Which I will defend the first half of that movie. Yeah. Before they get powers, it's not bad.
I'll defend the Tim Heidecker scene. And that's it.
I think once they get powers, it becomes a real mess, yeah, of a movie. Like,
and
to
Michael
the point
B.
where
Jordan.
They jump 4 years in front. Like, you're like, well, we want to give them an origin story, but we don't want to show them learn their powers.
Yeah.
That seems boring. That's the boring part. But, yeah, I don't know. Let's... We like the movie. We like the movie a lot.
Yeah.
I think it's pretty universal between the two of us.
Yeah.
But let's get into spoilers. If I don't know, if you haven't seen the movie, fucking get on it. Like, it's, I mean, when I went to go see it last night, which was like the quote unquote midnight premiere, almost every screen was sold out, to the point where they were starting to add screens. And there were like six showings at the same time, which is not something they do.
Yeah.
It was packed. It was nuts. It was awesome. People were dressed in garb, like authentic. Well, I don't know if it's authentic, but like African garb and stuff. Like,
yeah,
people
amazing.
Were really, really into it. It was awesome.
That's amazing. My mom's friend, I saw it with my mom, my dad, and my brother today, which was kind of cool. Just seeing it with family, and that's a movie.
It's
that's
a good movie
about
to see with
family.
Your dad.
Oh yeah, oh big time. Which is weird. I saw like Force Awakens with him as well. Another crazy dad movie.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah,
my mom's friend texted her and said it looked like this gentleman is black. I'll say this because of the quote he's about to say.
Scandal.
He goes. He goes. Niggas look like they headed to Prince Akeem's wedding.
Oh my god. So
I love it.
Someone posted on Instagram, Devin Faraci, who used to write for Birth Movies Death, but he posted a picture. He's like, someone dressed up as the guys from Coming to America to go see Black Panther. And that was the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Oh man, can you imagine Eddie Murphy playing T'Chaka in this movie?
Oh, it'd be fucking garbage.
I would love it.
It would be. He'd just be like, faggots be like this. Sorry to drop the F-bomb, but, you know, like.
Oh, man.
Context.
Right. that's the whole, Eddie Murphy's a whole nother discussion.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I love him, though. I do.
Fuck.
Yeah, I know. I dropped that bomb,
totally,
and now it's
like
thrown
now
off.
I'm about it.
Let's get into spoilers. Sorry about that.
Spoilers. No, from the get-go, like...
Well, give it a second for spoilers. Let's... All right, so spoilers from here on out. If you're listening, you know...
All right, that's enough time.
Okay. Go.
I'm going to post spoilers in the social media section, and they'll be like... If they could read, we'll be like...
Spoiler alert, T'Challa dies.
He almost dies. He almost dies.
No one thought that was going to happen. No one thought he was actually going to die.
No, but I mean...
If only
like,
because we saw the Infinity War trailer.
But physically, he did almost die.
Yeah, he was saved by snow.
Yeah, he was saved by snow.
I'll give it to him. It was a bit of a reach, but that was. I think that's my biggest gripe with the movie. I think that's my Leia floating in space moment for me.
But you liked that moment.
I did.
Oh, but it was just your biggest gripe.
I think it's my biggest gripe of the movie.
Okay.
I think it's the where it's like, okay, I get it. It's a Marvel movie. I'll go with it.
Yeah.
But it's kind of like, like you're gonna bring him all the way up the mountain to heal him or to keep him stable. All right,
oh,
fine,
yeah.
Whatever. Like, just bring him back if you respect him so much. Like, all right, whatever. Cool. I'll go with it. I'm done. I said my piece.
I don't know. There was one other thing that was like a little strange to me like that, but I was just like, well, I'll probably think of it as we talk about the movie.
I mean, all the claw stuff was a bit, I loved Andy Serkis in this movie.
Oh, big time.
I loved him so much more than I did in Age of Ultron.
Yeah.
I mean, because Age of Ultron is just not a very good movie, but, like, he's so much fun. The fact that he has a mixtape, like, like, what's his name? What is his name? Martin Freeman's character.
Everett Ross.
Ross. Yeah. The fact that Ross, like, makes a joke, like, you're gonna make me listen to your mixtape. It's like, well, I could send you a SoundCloud. He's like, please, please don't let me make me listen to your music.
Like, I, like, made perfect sense for that character. Yeah. It was amazing. I love that development.
Yeah, he's great.
I wonder what his DJ name is. It could just be
Claw.
DJ Claw.
Yeah, he's got to be Claw.
Just Claw.
It's the coolest fucking name ever. Fucking,
and it has a K instead of C.
And he's got a fucking, like, laser gun for an arm.
Which proves to be pretty powerless against Black Panther. At the, with his character, at the beginning of the movie, his character, they made it seem like as soon as he steps out of the ambulance or whatever, made it seem like he was the guy in power. Like, Michael B. Jordan was kind of just...
It seemed like he was just a hired hand. Yeah, like, yeah. He was just a guy who...
And then it becomes astonishing and clear, like, from when Claw blasts Black Panther... In the suit, does nothing.
Well, in the new suit. His old suit, it probably would have done a lot.
Yeah.
But in his new suit, it's he didn't see that part coming.
Exactly.
I think, you know, like... So, well, let's try and, like, go back to, like, the beginning of the movie before we kind of just jump around. But, like, the opening of the movie is in Compton. Is it Compton?
Oakland. It's in Oakland.
You know, it starts with these guys. It kind of makes it seem like they're just, you know, gun runners and gangbangers or whatever.
I totally love that scene. It was just a straight Ryan Coogler scene. Just how it was set up and everything. Like, and they brought the bazaar at you right away.
Kind of, yeah. I mean, like, I think it's there. I think it kind of undercuts the story, if only because... creates a lack of surprise later in the movie. I think, like, it sets up like the story enough to, like, for a general audience. Like, I mean, if you're going for kind of the most mainstream appeal, I think it works, but, like, I feel it would have been more interesting to have found that information out in the middle of the movie.
You think so?
Why I think that? So I don't know. I think, like, the I mean, like, finding out, because you see that, and then for most of the movie, I'm like, okay, so Michael B. Jordan is, like, his son, or, you know, his you know, whatever. Because we don't see him die at the beginning of the movie.
Right.
So we can assume that he's his son, at least.
Right.
Like, it's kind of... So, I mean, you could just kind of... Like, you connect the dots before the dots are connected. Even for someone who... Like, I'm not someone who likes to guess during a movie. I like to be surprised. I like to enjoy the ride.
Yeah.
But... I don't think it's a bad thing. I don't think it's a negative thing, but I think it just would have been more fun to have like.
To me, it was the best way to introduce Wakanda, to set yourself in the real world, and then to all of a sudden this shit pops up where these African warriors arrive at like a project doorway.
It's a little
in Oakland, California, in the 90s. Like,
I think it's a little weird though, like, because it's two Wakandan people from Wakanda talking to each other like they're not from Wakanda. So I get that they're undercover, you know, and I get that neither of them know they're Wakandan.
Right.
Or one knows that he's Wakanda, but he's pretending not to, and the other one doesn't. But I feel like it's a little too exposition-y. It works. It works in the moment. But I feel like going back and watching it, it's going to be one of those things where it's like, all right, it's like... You're doing this for the audience. It's fine, like, because people don't really know the Black Panther. Like, I went to go see it with someone who knew nothing about the Black Panther, and she saw Civil War.
Yeah,
like
the fact that you get to see fucking young T'Chaka in the suit, like, that's a win. Like, that's
yeah, no,
awesome.
For sure. Like,
that
I mean,
is amazing.
His costume was great. It was like covered in gold and
like
the sash and everything.
I think it's a little nitpicky.
The line is like, "Who is it?" It's like. Some Grace Jones looking weirdos.
Yeah, that was a good line.
Like, I was the only one in the theater laughing.
And then the one actor was the dude from This Is Us. That's like a big fucking named actor.
Oh, really?
So it's like a huge fucking cameo.
I mean, yeah. Like, I mean, like, I'm all about it. Like, I think the scene as a whole works. I just think the placement of it was a bit weird. Because it literally starts. It starts with the tell me about Wakanda, the history of Wakanda or whatever, like a meteorite and which is great.
Yeah.
I really like that Earth was, so it works in the fact of like little sand technology, whatever their visual technology is that looks like sand or whatever.
Yeah.
It creates this Earth and it's a black Earth. Not like desolate Earth, but it's just black and brown. This is our world. Our world is black. It's like we are black.
Yeah.
It's great imagery. And he's so good. He's such a good director, man.
He's amazing. The way that it's hard for me to talk specifically about this movie as I'm keep talking about it. I haven't said a word about it since I left the theater with my family. A little bit, but I didn't get into anything because I was just like, what do I say? And I'm like finding myself wanting to talk about these broader themes of what Coogler is introducing.
This is kind of what I got from it was almost like, you know, in the way people look at X-Men or what the original intent of X-Men, which was Malcolm X versus Martin Luther King.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's kind of what, maybe it's a lazy connection, but it's a connection.
No, it totally is.
Because I mean, that's kind of their ideals, Killmonger and
yeah, T'Challa. They had that struggle going on. You had rest of the world versus them, the colonizers joke. So you had white versus black. The colonizers joke,
so fucking funny.
Suri is,
she's the best.
Fucking shit. Yeah,
she's so good. I've been looking. I can't remember incredible. Her name. I'm gonna butcher everyone's name. Yeah,
this is the worst movie for you to try to pronounce people's names.
Yeah, I know Chadwick Boseman. I know Michael B. Jordan, Lupita Nyong'o. I don't know if I pronounced that right, but I know she's in. So basically, in my mind, I was like, okay, Star Wars, Get Out, Creed. that's like how I was like.
Dude, and then you have
Letitia Wright.
The best joke I saw online, maybe not the best, but a really good one, was. Martin Freeman and Andy Serkis in that one scene together where it's like you got Freeman from The Hobbit, Serkis from Lord of the Rings.
I didn't even think about that.
As Gollum and...
I don't think about The Hobbit.
So they're Black Panther's token white guys.
Oh, Jesus. Fuck you. Whoever did that, you deserve $1 million, but go fuck yourself. Yeah. I completely... You know, I'm going through the IMDb cast right now. I completely forgot Forrest Whitaker was in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
He's amazing in it.
Dying his emotional, tragic death.
Well, I think I was halfway through this movie. Not even halfway through the movie. And I'm like, okay, so this is just the movie where old black people with lazy eyes get like, dude, his dad.
His dad is one eye was just like dead.
In that first scene, which is supposed to be like super duper emotional.
Yeah.
Where he's like, I don't know if I'm ready. It's like, ready? You've been training your whole life. I don't know if I'm ready to do this without you.
Yeah.
And his eye is just there. I'm just like,
yeah,
he looks like Sloth from Goonies. And it really, it hurt me. I was like, I want this to work for me.
John Candy.
John Candy, what?
No, not John Candy.
He's dead.
But... Yeah, his eyes, I thought it was like a glass eye or something. The screen was so big that you can't not look at it.
He's very good. He was really good in Civil War for all 6 seconds he was in it, you know, like, and he was very good in this, and like, it works. But Letitia Wright is his sister.
Okay.
Who plays Suri. Shuri. Yeah.
Just mixing up with Zuri.
She's great.
Oh, yeah.
She's so much fun.
She was amazing.
Fucking Angela Bassett's in this fucking movie.
Oh, yeah, like...
There's so many people in this movie that are
Sterling
fucking great.
Sterling K. Brown, Angela Bassett, just a million great stars.
Just going through
movie.
All of them now. Like, I mean, I loved how, like...
And
so,
then what's his face from Get Out, too, by the way?
That's what I was saying. Like, just naming...
Oh, Daniel Kaluuya?
Yeah, because I was naming people in my mind as, like, what movie... They were from last year.
Yeah.
Like, the great movies of last year.
Yeah.
Like Star Wars, Get Out, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But, like... It's, like, this movie is... The more I talk about it, the more I like it. And I already really liked it.
Yeah.
It might not be my favorite Marvel movie, if only because I don't... It's ambitious, but I feel like I've seen the story a million times before.
It largely separates itself from the MCU.
It has no interest in being in that.
Yeah,
like, no. It has, like, you know, it has Claw, and it has Martin Freeman, and it has, you know, like, certain things. There's no fucking Infinity Stones.
Nope.
You know, we have that
and
thing
at
the end.
I was expecting the Soul Gem, but the...
Yeah.
You have the heart-shaped plant. But
yeah, I'm fine with that. I don't mind. We got 2 months before fucking Infinity War. Like, I don't fucking need it. If I hear Infinity Stone in a movie, but 2 months before fucking Infinity War, I'm done. Like, I'm just like, not done, but like, I'm just fucking like, you can't wait.
Yeah,
you can't wait. Like, there's so much to like about this movie. Like, so, what did you think about Killmonger? As a character, not just Michael B. Jordan's portrayal, but like as a character.
As a character, I really, really liked him. I wish there had been more of him as well. It was mostly action scenes.
He kind of pops up halfway through the movie, really. Like, as a character, he just becomes a thing.
You find out, I think in the comic books, his family had been banished previously. Okay. Like, I don't remember if he was T'Challa's cousin.
I know nothing about him, so...
But his family is banished in the comics, but they changed that a little bit in the movie to...
I think it's the more
interesting. He was the brother of T'Chaka, T'Chaka's brother, you find out, is Killmonger's dad. He betrayed Wakanda, which allowed Ulysses Claw to steal some vibranium from them. Yeah. And T'Chaka finds out. You see in the first scene of the movie, and he kills his own brother when his brother pulls a gun on Forest Whitaker's character, on Zuri, which you don't know.
If that guy who played young Forest Whitaker didn't have a lazy eye, that is the best acting I've ever seen in my life. He got Forest Whitaker's eye down to a T.
Yeah, like I didn't realize it was him until they showed it.
Well, yeah, it was good. They were very good at hiding it. I think that's... I'm usually not a big fan of recasting young people, but I'm also not a fan of digitally de-aging people.
Yeah.
But same. I think it worked for what it was trying to portray.
It did. Even though, like, young T'Chaka looked nothing like old T'Chaka.
No.
That was
not at all hard
to accept. But, so Killmonger is abandoned as a boy because they have to maintain the lie. And he grows up knowing about Wakanda from his father, and he has this sense about Wakanda, which I could see Black America totally agreeing with. He was kind of...
For a kid growing up in Oakland?
He was symbolic of Black America.
Yeah, for someone who knows America. He has the power to change things.
Yeah.
Like, that's... I can't even imagine that, like, kind of, like... I mean... He became corrupted from, you know, the amount, like, all those scars or from how many people he's killed. And, like, you know, he's just let his soul rot.
Yeah, I mean, like, no soul can really survive that much torment and that much obsession and holding that big of a grudge. Mm-hmm. It's tough to be a sane, calm person.
But there's a real... Whether you believe it succeeds or not, there's a real attempt at empathy for him.
Oh,
you absolutely understand where he's coming from.
Oh yeah, you see him.
Like, even T'Challa understands where he's coming from.
Big time.
Like, he's seen it. He knows.
Yeah.
And I mean, like, he learns from it. And like, that was my big thing that I really liked about this movie, was T'Challa wasn't dealing with how to be a good person, mm-hmm. like every single superhero is, except for maybe Captain America,
right?
In all these Marvel movies, but like. He's dealing, like, he is already a good person. He has his moral compass. Generally, it gets askewed because of what his father did.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, he sees the issues of being a king and having to find that moral flexibility. But his journey is accepting who he is as a king and accepting his parents' past.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically his father's past.
Yeah.
Which is something that is not delved into, especially in blockbuster films a lot, because like dealing with knowing your parent or your father, has done something inherently wrong and arguably evil, but doesn't make him a bad person.
It definitely held more weight, I think, than Odin in Ragnarok.
Yeah, it's kind of the same thing. It really is. Like, I mean, I think this is kind of the right leaning of what Thor should be.
Yeah.
You know, like, I guess I didn't even really think of, like, I compared the shots to Thor, but, like, this is really just Thor in...
It's Black Thor.
I mean, it's Black Thor, obviously. You didn't see Black Thor? One ticket to Black Thor, please.
It's called Thorgood.
Ooh, George Thorogood? He's great.
Black History Month.
Ah, Thorgood Marshall.
I got to teach you some Black History.
I do. Drunk Black History?
Yeah.
Oh, hello, Comedy Central.
Oh, man, we're rich.
Central.
Make sure you cut that out of the podcast so nobody steals our idea.
They're going to.
Yeah. So Killmonger, I mean, it's definitely that dichotomy. You see the entire movie of Killmonger's Black America and, in a sense, Black T'Challa just as blackness in general, whether you're African or wherever you're from, dealing with those issues and actually just being human, and which I think is inherently what soul of like Africa is about, love and just living in harmony with nature. And so you see many instances of Black Panther and the Wakandans applauding mercy and applauding life saved, and just being all about life and love. And to see one side of it where Killmonger's coming from as he's paying for his father's mistakes because he can't let what happened as a result of that go. And he's blaming the wrong people. In a sense, I mean, there is some,
I think he's blaming the right people, but I think he's going the wrong way about how he should, you know, and like it is like, I mean, Malcolm X versus Martin Luther King. Like, I mean, it's, I think they're both on agreement of who, or at least what is the issue.
Yeah.
Generally.
And then what happens with T'Challa is that he's struggling with his father's mistakes as well, affecting his own life.
Mm-hmm.
And he comes to the conclusion where he doesn't have to pay for those mistakes and he doesn't have to live his life. That scene with Lupita Nyong'o was a really powerful one to sit next to my dad and watch.
The one on the cliff.
Yeah. When he's struggling with it and she's like, you don't have to pay for your father's mistakes. You can, you choose to be the king you want to be. And that's really powerful. It's about humanity. It's about forgiveness.
Well, I don't think there's anybody, regardless of how they feel about their father or mother or whatever it is, like, who doesn't feel like they don't want to follow in I don't want to be him or I don't want to be her.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's, I respect him to shit. You find out this one thing about him. It's like, I don't want to be that.
Right.
You know? And it's those moments that define you for a while. Like, you realize, like, after a while, like, you're being defined by what you don't want to be, but you're never actually finding what you want to be.
Mm.
And it's a very poignant, like story arc for a superhero, because it's such a small, very obvious, when you look at it, like, story arc. But, like, when you bring it to a character who is already pretty true and just, like, it's so interesting, because, like, someone who's just, like, they're, like, he's just shaken in a way that just can't, like people who just feel so secure, and they're just shaken just a little bit, but enough to really knock them off balance.
Right.
Is a very interesting way to go about it. And then they have superpowers and they blow shit up and it's cool.
And yeah, exactly. And there's some badass music playing behind the entire thing.
Oh, the score.
Yeah.
Not even the soundtrack, but the score.
The score. Oh my
mixing,
God.
Mixing classical, like, well, classic superhero orchestral music with African, like like rhythms and beats, but then like a hip hop beat over it.
And it was all, it didn't remind you of like some James Bond music too at times.
Well, okay. So that's what I wanted to get into with like the genres. It mixes so many genres and every single one of them works.
Oh yeah.
The casino scene, 100% a James Bond scene.
Or Rush Hour 2.
That's what I was going for. I was really thinking I want to go for the broader appeal by saying like James Chris Bond.
Tucker in that suit.
But like that, I mean, it's James Bond. I mean, even like, I don't know if this is going to sound racist, but the third act is basically Lion King. Like, the tribe in the mountains is just Timon and Pumbaa. Like
the first time he drinks to the, he goes to the ancestral plane or whatever.
Yeah. It's Rafiki. It's his Rafiki moment.
Exactly. Like as soon as you see his dad, you just imagine, T'Chaka saying Simba.
Yeah.
Or T'Challa.
It's weird talking about this as a white person. This movie is a weird I like that it makes me uncomfortable. Yeah. It shouldn't make me uncomfortable. It's a Marvel movie, but it's great.
I don't know. It's funny to, like, I was curious to have I'm like kind of glad we don't have a guest. Because I'm like, I just want to pick the brain of the white person who saw it as soon as possible.
I'm always open to talk about it.
I feel like it did a good job of bridging the kind of racial divide. And
like it made so I am very unfamiliar with African culture. Like, I mean,
oh really?
I mean, I celebrate Kwanzaa every year, but that's about it.
Harambe.
Rest in peace.
Yes.
I mean, like I know basically nothing. Like when I see that color palette of the yellow, orange, red, you know, all that stuff. Like,
oh yeah,
I think 1990s PBS. That's what I think
or
of.
Or like a Benetton ad.
Yeah, I mean, like it's just so like when I look at like the art design in this movie, I'm 100% sure it was based on a lot of old African art.
Oh, for sure.
And none of it I've ever seen before.
And there's African street graffiti in it. And
yeah, I mean, the colors are amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, just so even the ancestral plane, when Killmonger goes into the plane and goes to his home in Oakland.
Yeah.
And it's just like there's just the Aurora Borealis, the purple and blues.
He's enclosed from it.
But it's still beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
It's just a shitty apartment in Oakland, and they made it look beautiful just by having a different color palette on the outside of
it's
the building.
It's like, this is just your reality. This is your consciousness.
Yeah. In the same way, like T'Challa's is just like the plains, and it's just like you're going to the black, you're going to the tree where all the panthers hang out, whatever they
do. Yeah, the panther tree.
And, you know, the panther tree. I've seen Jungle Book, Jumanji too. I've also seen Jumanji.
All right, and now is when you're getting racist.
there's so much,
but it's also he has a very different reaction because he doesn't quite have that upbringing of love that Wakandans generally experience.
Well, I think it's pretty like. They kind of have, because you never get them interacting until that scene, Killmonger's father and himself. And I think it's pretty, like, it's hammered home that they had a very good relationship.
Yeah.
Like, he was a bit hard on him.
Yeah.
Because he's living in fucking Oakland.
Yeah.
But, like, he wasn't, like, he was a good father, and he gave a shit about his kid.
His father basically didn't think he was a bad guy. He didn't think he was doing a bad thing.
No.
And he basically seemed like he was taken advantage of by Claw in a way. But he also, he knows what his people do to those who betray them.
I could watch that scene literally extended forever. I could watch those two characters have a conversation forever because I feel like they would agree 80% of the time.
Yeah.
I feel like their back and forth would be far more interesting than Killmonger and Black Panther's back and forth any time of the movie. Like, because it ends on a note that should be yes, but it just ends, you know, where it's like, I don't even remember what the line he says, but he says something like, you know, I need to take this back or something like that. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, no, like, I feel like his father, even his father being kind of radicalized in a way, seems like he would probably argue at least he would bring a counterpoint to it.
Yeah.
And it was such a great scene. And seeing him cry and like just being very vulnerable, and him being like, I was really worried they wouldn't show it, like his spiritual quest or whatever you want to call it. I was like, okay, well maybe they'll just like kind of leave that to interpretation or whatever. And like, and they showed it, and it's probably my favorite scene in the movie.
It's really good
because like half the scene is shot of him saying these things as a child, and then the other half is all the radicalized stuff of him saying it as an adult, saying, no, here's where you're wrong, here's where I'm gonna take steps. And
right,
you know, it's like, oh, it's so great
when just seeing him hold his father's like dead body in his arms as a child. Mm-hmm. Was like super powerful, and you really felt for Killmonger. And but you see how much it's twisted him, because as soon as he comes out of it, he's up and ready to fight. Mm-hmm. Like, he gets up instantly, and
he's like gonna punch everybody.
His first instinct is anger and violence.
Yeah, and as opposed to T'Challa, who's was like, he wakes up slow, maybe not collected, but he's upset, but he's not.
No, he was happy. He was like, he was there, my father. He's like, yeah. I got to talk to him.
Exactly.
Like, he cherished that moment. And Killmonger overlooked that fact. You could see.
He took it for granted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He took it for granted, and he came out of it ready to get revenge.
Mm-hmm.
And
he wanted to tell his father off as opposed to actually speak to his father. Yeah.
And that was kind of Black Panther's character development in Civil War. Was coming to terms with his father's death in that way, and trying to fight off that anger. In the end, he doesn't kill
Zemo.
Zemo, yeah.
God, that Civil War is so good too. Like, the more I talk about Black Panther or T'Challa specifically, like I the more I really like him. Like, because I was like, you can boil him down to just being like, okay, so he's James Bond if he were Batman, you know, like, yeah. And it's easy to boil him down like that, but T'Challa specifically is such a great character. Like, he's like if Tony Stark didn't have that struggle of being a rich kid. Like,
right.
He just is like always like inherently good. And I'm like a sucker for Boy Scouts. Like, you know, like Captain America and even Superman. Like, I'm not a biggest Superman fan, but
just that super morally straight compass.
I'm a sucker for heroes being heroes.
Yeah,
I guess.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. I mean, we all love seeing those moments. Like, our favorite part of Batman vs. Superman was Superman actually like saving somebody from getting punched.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, yeah. Or like even in Justice League, Superman just being a dork.
Yeah.
And just making jokes.
Right.
You know, and just making really bad, unfunny jokes.
But you're right. He is such a likable character. T'Challa, he does what's right. He's fair. He realizes his burden and his.
But he's not like super serious either. Or he's not self-serious.
Yeah, no.
Like he's hanging out with his sister.
Yeah.
Like, and he does the ceremonial like crossing of his arms, but then also goes for, you know, a high five or whatever. You know, like it's great. Like, there's a great mixture of like the new and the old. That I think where a lot of our culture, regardless of black or white, is skewing towards, where they're like, yeah, we got to be a little formal, but also like, yeah, fucking, you're my sister. Like, who cares? Like,
right.
You know,
it's very awesome to see this, movie. It's the best black superhero movie that's ever been made.
Well, I mean, that Blade 2.
Blade 2 is cool, but this is better.
Blade Trinity.
This is better than the Blade movies. This is better.
Dustin Meadows, we're calling you out.
It's better than, what's it called? Hancock.
Will Smith, we're calling you out.
We're calling you out, Will Smith.
I'm trying to think. Blackula versus Dracula.
I've never seen that movie.
I don't know if that's a movie.
Yeah, it might. I think it is.
It's got to be.
Pretty sure it is.
That's an untapped market if there isn't one.
But it was so awesome to see it. They kind of like, they made Wakanda. It was inspiring for Black youth and mm-hmm. for Black people in general, but they made it so that all of humanity can come up with this. Like at the end, they kind of turned it into like a Captain Planet type deal where he's like, these buildings are going to be the first Wakandan outreach centers.
And well, Captain Planet seems a bit.
You know what I mean.
No, it's not I to totally agree.
But it's like he's gonna like fucking change the world. It was like an allegory for America being that, like, we're the people who have all this technology and this power to do change.
But he's finally gonna use his. We think we're the best country
in the world, and we should like probably help the rest of the world out a little more.
But like that last shot. So I really thought a lot about that last shot. Or the last scene of him revealing to his sister that he bought all those houses and then it was going to be the Wakandan Outreach Center or whatever. But then revealing that spaceship or their ship to all his kids, and you know, all the kids run over and they're just like, oh, we'll rip this thing apart and we'll sell it on eBay or whatever.
Right.
And it's a funny joke. It's cute. And then the one kid doesn't give a shit about the ship. Yeah. He comes to T'Challa and he's just like, "Who are you?"
Yeah,
and the impact of that is so strong of being like, okay, so it you know, you can treat it as a meta texture of just like, so this movie, 90% of the people are going to be all about the bells and whistles.
Yeah,
you know, but there's going to be that one kid who's like, who is T'Challa?
Yeah.
He's a Black man who owns an entire country,
mm-hmm.
is inherently good, while not perfect, he is a good person. It's a really fucking strong message.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
And the fact that he doesn't say anything is so, because I mean, you know what he's gonna say. Like, he's not gonna say, "I'm T'Challa."
See, I thought they missed an opportunity there for the kid to be like, "Who are you? You look like one of those Black Panthers or something." And then T'Challa says, "Yeah, something like that." Wink. The end.
I am Iron Man. Well, that's what. Like, so I guess we'll get into post credits then, because like, so the scene at the UN.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Which is like, okay, so it's just explaining that people now know Wakanda is like technically advanced and blah, blah, blah. So that just kind of sets up for Infinity War. Fine, whatever.
Right. Yeah.
When the scene started, I was like, oh, so they're going to make Black Panther the Spider-Man of their Civil War. Or he just announces to the world. But it's like, no one fucking cares about Black Panther. No one knows who he is, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It doesn't do anything. That scene is kind of generally unnecessary. It's a nice moment. It works.
Yeah, when he's like,
it's very much a political moment.
Like, we have to realize we're,
yeah, it's,
we
very much just shouting to the audience. Like,
yeah,
yeah. It worked. I liked it. I liked how fucking like political this movie is. It doesn't hide itself.
Oh, no, not at all.
Colonizers,
Killmonger talks about Killmonger's death. When he talks about, when he's like, my ancestors who had the bravery to jump off the boat because they knew bondage was better, or death was better than bondage.
Yeah. Oh, it's so good.
They haven't tried bondage.
No.
Just kidding. No. Yeah, that's awful.
Come
that's
with me, first Friday joke. Every month. I mean, we didn't even get in that fight, but the fight is generally unimpressive. Like, it's fine. It's whatever. But, I mean, that whole scene, like, the whole scene on the cliff of, like, T'Challa just giving him that, it's like, he's deserved this, at least.
Yeah. You see the sunset.
Yeah.
That was where I wanted to get into. I'm jumping all over the place now.
No, I mean, that's where we're at now. Yeah, there's a lot.
Disney is not like shy about showing that they own Star Wars now.
Oh yeah, no. I mean, like that scene with the ships.
Yeah,
fight. That, it I was mean, that's the Millennium literally
Force and X-wings
from Force Awakens. Like, yeah, that's exactly what it is.
It's the same thing. And
even some of the music was the same.
It sounded like John Williams. Yeah. And then that scene was like Luke Skywalker's death.
Kind of, yeah. I mean, I feel like that was probably unintentional.
Yeah.
I feel like someone dying in a sunset is kind of like a thing.
Exactly.
But like, yeah, I mean, it's like my own, like the only way I think it could have been better is if like they, I mean, I'm this guy right now. I loved the way Doctor Strange defeated his villain. I like guys who just kind of outwit and just kind of outtalk their villain.
Yeah.
So my only way it could have been better was like, they just figure out now they're friends. Like, this is where I'm at in my life. I don't know if this is like something that needs to be. I don't think that would have been a good movie, but that's what I would have liked.
This was the first time like that they were brave enough to kill the villain in a long time.
They've killed most of theirs. I mean, Zemo hadn't died, but like Umamu goes away forever.
He's not dead. Dormammu is one of Doctor Strange's biggest.
Yeah, you're not gonna kill him. But like, I'm trying to think of the last one because you kill. So I'm just going through like Iron Man. They kill him. Pretty sure they kill him in Hulk. You destroy Asgard. Spoiler: you destroy Asgard in Thor.
Yeah, but.
I mean, they're not unkillable, but they're basically just living forever in a battle.
Yeah. I mean, like...
they're forever dying.
I feel like it's destroyed now, and, like, I don't know.
Oh, no, fucking Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
Oh, duh.
Yeah. Like, he... Like, I mean, so many people die in that movie.
Yeah. I just meant the main villain, but...
Well, he does.
I don't know. I feel like they need to do that. Well, I mean... I don't know. Never mind. I don't know where I was going with that.
Spider-Man? No, he doesn't die in that movie.
No, he doesn't die.
Shit. I gotta watch Spider-Man again. That movie's so good.
I do want to watch that again.
All right, let's get in that final credit sequence. Okay. Bucky's alive, obviously. He's around. Stuff happens. Cool. Who cares?
That was, I don't know. I thought it was going to be Cap coming out of there.
Why did you think it was going to be Cap? They literally set it up in Civil War.
I don't know.
I would have loved to have seen Cap because I love Cap.
Maybe Cap, because Cap's going to come like out with the tribes in Infinity War, so I thought maybe he was the one out there learning.
I'm interested to see how Infinity War is going to fold out, because I don't even know anymore. I don't know how they're going to make this movie work. I'm worried. I think it's going to be good, but I'm worried.
Yeah, you're worried all the time.
That's true. It's my anxiety. Do you have anything else you want to talk about before we close this up?
You know, that end credit scene, Bucky in red and blue, I don't know if that was hinting at anything.
Nah.
I
think you're overthinking that one.
I don't know. I think Cap's going
to
die.
I love Bucky, but he'll probably will, but I don't. They're not going to make any Captain America movies with Bucky. Not for a while, at least.
I think they'll put him in the Avengers movies as Captain America.
Maybe. He'll hold the shield for sure in Infinity War. I'm almost guaranteed it's going to happen.
Probably. It's probably going to happen. What else about this movie? Talked about the soundtrack. Literally in my head, when the first time you saw the heart-shaped flower, when he got the powers of the Black Panther back, through my head just goes, nigga, I want that purple stuff.
I like that they can just give it and take it away at any time.
Oh, yeah. It's
which is
like,
weird.
Like, it's just a plant that they cultivate.
It's great. I like it.
It's cool.
Yeah.
And... fucking Killmonger burns it all.
Bastard.
Yeah. Smoking up all the drugs.
You know, in like the third or fourth movie, they're going to be like, oh, we found a seed. And they'll plant it again.
Oh, yeah. They could totally get it back.
Oh, they're absolutely going to.
Yeah. What else?
Yeah, I don't know. Like the music, I mean, Kendrick's soundtrack was amazing.
I liked the... what was the tribe up in the mountains?
Shot with all the, when they're like in his throne room, yeah. With all the wood everywhere. Oh, yeah. Such a great
shot.
That's
a cool looking scene.
I think that's my favorite shot of the whole movie.
And then and he's like, if you speak again, I'll feed you to my children, to Everett Ross. He's like, just kidding. We're vegetarians.
Oh, it's so good. This movie's not that funny, but the jokes work when they do.
All the jokes work, yeah.
I was really surprised. Like, it was refreshing to have a movie that was like a Marvel movie that wasn't just joke. Yeah, joke.
They went a little too
far. Or overboard. Like super duper serious, like yeah. Civil War.
Right. They've been going a little too far with the comedy. Like it works for most of the time, but
you got to find the right characters. Yeah. Like Ant-Man and Iron Man, and I guess a little bit Doctor Strange.
Yeah. Thor, they went a little too far, in my opinion.
Thor was fucking hilarious.
It was it was hilarious.
All the jokes worked.
There was a lot of jokes that didn't work.
That's true. That's fair. That's actually yeah. There was just a lot of them.
Yeah.
And it's just Thor shouldn't have movies. Thor's a very bad character. Especially he shouldn't have three movies.
I like Thor, but
he's not a good character.
They haven't portrayed it right on screen. I love Ragnarok, but that's
Ragnarok's the closest they've gotten to getting him right. I want more Planet Hulk shit. That's what I wanted from that movie.
Yeah.
But, I guess that's it. I don't know. I'm tired.
Yeah, it's late.
Yeah.
Both work in the morning.
Yeah.
But we suffer for our craft.
It's true. We suffer for Black Panther.
Black Panther suffers for us.
It's true. He does.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the message.
Stop talking over me.
I'm sorry.
I'm your boss. I will not give you a raise next year. Professional.
I'm really sorry, George.
Good. Okay, thank you. Well, we will be back. What was that?
I don't know.
We will be back next week with people talking about things.
Wait, we got to give our final rating.
Yeah, I think. Just if you give it a hit or a miss.
Final sum it up.
Yeah, final sum it up.
I will say a hit overall. I think it conveyed the social messages. It was fun. And I don't know. It was powerful to watch with my dad. Cool experience. And so, I don't know. It's something that I think is going to make a difference. It's a movie that I think will make a difference in a child's life. Many children.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, if for no other reason, it's a hit for that. Like, I mean, it's just generally entertaining. Like, I mean, it's a really, really, really good movie. I walked out of it thinking like, yeah, I'd watch this like 3 or 4 more times. It's longer. It's one of the longer Marvel movies, but like, it's real good.
Mm-hmm.
It's real good. So yeah, it's a hit. We'll be next. Jesus Christ, I'm so tired. We'll be back next week. Talking about places, people, things, and fun stuff.
Thursdays. Check
Enjoy
us out.
Enjoy your farts.
Check us out.
Check us out.
SecondShotPod@gmail.com. Yeah, SecondShotPod on Twitter, on Instagram. That's how we do. Second Shot. Let's talk about love. Is it anything and everything you offer? Or do you feel it hard? I know you feel it hard.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
It's almost Election Day, Central Ohio, and your voice matters. On Tuesday, November 4th, COTA is making it easier to get to the polls with free rides all day long on all services. No fare, no hassle. Just hop on board on Tuesday, November 4th for an easy way to cast your vote. Whether you're taking the bus, COTA Mainstream, or COTA Plus, your ride is on us. Let's roll to the polls together. Plan your trip on the Transit app or at COTA.com.